If you have your Bibles, please turn to our scripture reading found in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Okay. Listen now to the word of God. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'll pray before we go into today's message. God, we thank you for all that you do in our lives. We thank you that you provide in so many ways, that you give to us even things that we take for granted, the people around us, the families we have. Lord, we thank you that you place inside of us a courage that we cannot have on our own. Lord, when we think about who you are, what you've done for us, who you call us to be, Lord, that's something that we can't build from just our efforts. It's not just something that we can declare for ourselves. But when you declare that we are righteous, when you declare that we are sons and daughters, when you declare that we are the heirs of your kingdom, Lord, this is what our confidence can stand on. Because you're the one who states it. You're the one who gives us that identity. And Lord, you're not going to take that away. So Lord, not on our own righteousness, not on the goodness of ourselves, but Lord, we stand upon the things that you declare about us, the things that you say and the identity that you give to us. So Lord, today as we think about your word, as we listen, help us to not think about how well we understand it or how much we've memorized scripture or how good we can be through our efforts. But Lord, as we allow the word to come into our hearts, help it to affect us, to change us, to move us, to shake us, and help it to really affect the way that we live our lives, the way that we treat other people, the way that we treat ourselves. So Lord, I pray that your word would really take root inside of our hearts at this time, that you would speak to me, through me, and that you would speak to the hearts of all those who are gathered. We trust in you. Holy Spirit, would you come? We thank you, God, and all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. It's ironic because my introduction for this sermon was about being ashamed or being embarrassed, and I like made too many examples of that, like today, right now. Like I made mistakes throughout the service that make it kind of like, okay, these are the examples that I should be pointing to open up my sermon. But you notice that when someone gets embarrassed, when someone makes a mistake, you try your very best, and I try to teach the youth group kids this as well, but I try my very best to tell them, it's okay, you know, just move on. If you make a mistake or you play the wrong chord while you're doing praise, it's okay, God doesn't mind, just move on. And so, you know, I would want them to do that, but if you notice or if you look carefully, and it happened today, so if you can kind of just think back just even a few minutes ago, when that happens, the person that makes the mistake can't help but be a little bit embarrassed, and it shows. You let out a little bit of a smile or, you know, without meaning to, your face kind of turns a little bit red. It's hard to hide that emotion. It's hard to hide that embarrassment or the fact that you're ashamed at that moment. So I realize more and more when there are certain expectations that are placed on you and you feel like you didn't meet that expectation, then you might feel embarrassed. You might feel ashamed of yourself. And it's such a strong thing that your body has a physical reaction, right? Like you start to sweat a little bit, your face turns red, or you just, you know, you can feel your heart beating a little bit faster. Being embarrassed, being ashamed, so powerful. You know, even when you're like, just make a straight face, you know, it's okay. You know, mistakes happen. Just continue and carry on. In the end, you can't really hide it. Even when I try to play it off, my face turns red. And I, for the longest time, I was like, man, I don't know why I'm like this. I wish I could be really cool and just be like, oh, it's okay, no worries, no problem, and no physical reaction would happen, but I always turn red. And I thought I was at my parents' church for my niece's baptism a while back, and I noticed, and my dad made a little bit of a mistake during the service, and I was watching my dad kind of presiding the service, and he turned bright red. And I was like, that's where I get it from. See, it's my dad's fault that I cannot hide when I am embarrassed, when I am ashamed of myself. And I realized, you know, that's true for many people, especially maybe in Korean culture, maybe in church culture, when you are supposed to be a certain way, when you are held to a certain standard, and you feel like maybe you didn't meet it, maybe you didn't represent yourself well, then you feel that feeling of embarrassment, that feeling of shame, and you have a physical reaction. It's hard to hide. Yeah, and we all have things that we would be ashamed about. We all have things or different things that we would be embarrassed about. There are things that I don't care about, and sometimes it embarrasses our youth group students. And yesterday and Friday, we went to a conference in Albany. I brought some of the youth group kids with me. I preached twice, and all throughout the time, they were like, Pastor Edwin, stop embarrassing us. Don't embarrass us. Stop it. Oh, you're so embarrassing. And that's their complaint about me because, you know, I can't help but just be me. So even when I meet new people or even as I was kind of interacting with the children and the youth of the other church, you know, I said embarrassing things. I made embarrassing jokes. I shared things about myself that maybe normal people wouldn't share. And so the kids were like, oh my gosh, Pastor Edwin, stop embarrassing yourself. Oh my, Pastor Edwin, stop embarrassing us. And then they're all like, just you know, to themselves and maybe in a joking way, but maybe with some seriousness. They were like, oh, they're going to think that Saegwang Church is so weird. And then they were like, please, Pastor Edwin, just stop speaking. And, you know, it was a fun time and we got through it well together. But they said things like that. And as funny as it might be, as much of a joke as it might be, I think there's truth to that, right? There is, I think I felt the pressure. I think even as I was going to this thing, there's a lot of people that I was meeting for the first time. I was going to be preaching to them for the first time. And there is a little bit of sense that I'm representing many, many things. You know, there's part of me that's like, okay, I don't want to embarrass myself, first of all. I don't want to go there and then them be like, why did we invite this guy? Why is this guy preaching to us? Like, we made such a big mistake. You know, I didn't want like everyone to be like sleeping and snoring during the sermons or like, what is this guy talking about? So at first I was like, I don't want to embarrass myself. And then to a lesser degree, I was like, I don't want to embarrass my youth group kids. I don't mind embarrassing the youth group kids. So that was like low down on the list. But I was thinking, okay, and yeah, I don't want to embarrass the church. I don't want to, you know, I'm coming as a pastor of Saegwang Church, so I don't want to embarrass the church and make them think like, why did they hire this guy? How did they not fire him yet? I was thinking, okay, I have to act a certain way. I have to do a certain job. I have to make sure that I'm prepared well. And I really want to preach, you know, the word of God well so that I don't embarrass anyone around me, all the people that are associated with me. And I knew that youth group kids were with me at that event. And I was like, I want them to be proud. You know, I want them to be like, yeah, that's my pastor, not like, oh my gosh, why did I decide to come to this? So I felt that pressure. And I think more so in churches, more so, and maybe even in Korean churches, maybe even as Korean Americans, we've picked up on that culture. It's a shame and honor culture. And so in some ways, if I did a good job, maybe I was able to bring some honor to my name, honor to our youth group's name, honor to our church's name. I don't know if I did. Don't nod your heads yet. But I might have also brought shame. You know, I might have brought shame into that as well. And I realized in those moments, and I realized while writing the sermon and thinking about those things, we risk that every single time we worship. We do come with those kind of thoughts a lot of the times. Without really thinking about it, we go like, oh, I don't want to embarrass myself today. Now, I do that a lot of times before I lead praise. I'm like, oh, I got to make sure that the key is okay. I got to make sure that we're going to make, that the music will be okay because I don't want to stand here and embarrass myself. And maybe that's not the main objective. That's not really what worship is about. That's not really what coming and joining together on Sundays is about. But we do that. You know, we try to wear nice clothes. We try to seem like we're put together. We try to say the right things and act the right way because we don't want to be ashamed of ourselves. We don't want to bring shame to our names, our family's names. And yet, when we look at ourselves, there are so many things that can bring embarrassment into our lives, that can bring shame into our lives. If you look back on the things that you've done, maybe some of the words that you've spoken, some of the sins that you've committed, the life that you lived, maybe that's not something that you're very proud about. And I tell you that it's a very, very strong emotion. It's a strong motivator. And a lot of times on Sunday mornings when people enter into churches, they're trying to hide that shame. They're trying to cover that shame. So they're trying to do the best that they can to do that. I even think that it starts when you're choosing your clothes. You know, you're doing your hair. You're putting on your makeup. You're trying to cover some of the things that you don't like about yourself. Or you're trying to make sure that you're presentable so that people don't think, whoa, what happened to this guy this week? He went through such a hard time. We cover over all of the things inside of our hearts that might shame us. We build up more and more walls. Shame is such a powerful motivator. And we all carry it. We all have it. We are all susceptible to it. If someone stood here and they said, okay, instead of Pastor Edwin speaking a sermon today, we're just going to put all of his sins, all of his mistakes on the PowerPoint. And we're going to go slide by slide, describing all the mistakes that he's made in his life. We're going to show some of the quotes, some of the things that he said to his friends, some of the decisions that he's made. We're just going to put all of it on the PowerPoint. And instead of a sermon, we're just going to go through his life. I'm like sweating just even thinking about that and saying that. We would cower in fear. When our eyes are turned inward to ourselves, it's something that makes us susceptible to shame, something that makes us embarrassed, something that makes us vulnerable to fear. And I take a look at the author of these words today. And if he thinks about where he is, who he's speaking to, his position, the reputation that he has, the standard that he's supposed to meet, if he's basing it on his own life, if he's basing it on his own experiences, what he was, who he was, what he did in the past, then he would stand there and he would say, I'm so ashamed of who I was. I'm so ashamed of myself. And their culture, in their times, this was a very, very big deal. It was major. Shame and honor, maybe, you know, even more so than even Korean culture. But these words that he speaks, and he goes, you know, I'm going to proclaim the word. I'm going to go preach. I'm going to do whatever I can. I'm going to speak the good news to whoever. I want to speak the good news to you. That's what Paul is saying to the church in Rome. He says, I just have to go and preach the word of God to you. For I'm not ashamed. You know, in some ways, it's like, okay, I'm not ashamed of myself. I'm trained. I've been through some things. God's taking me through a journey. I've learned some things. I've seen some things. I can teach you some things. I've been blessed with some spiritual blessings. But that's not what he says. If he had to stand up there and he had to talk about himself, if he had to talk about his life, if it were him that he were having to advertise or speak about, then probably he would say, I'm ashamed of the things that I've done. I've jailed Christians. I've caused people to lose their life. I've started riots. I've pursued people. I've torn families apart. I brought death and destruction into the lives of those just because people love Jesus Christ, just because they followed him. But what he says is, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And I think that's the difference. If we think about ourselves, or if we're trying to market ourselves, if we're trying to do something about ourselves, our own image, our own reputation among our church members, then maybe I would stand up here and I'd say, I am ashamed of myself. I'm ashamed of some of the things that I've done. You know, I'm a pastor. You expect certain things of me, and there are things that I do that don't fit that job description. There are things that I've done in my life that don't really fit the lifestyle of a Christian. So if I had to stand up here with a mic, with people's ears, preaching the word of God, and I had to look at myself and present myself, then I would not be able to say I'm not ashamed. I am ashamed. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's what allows me to stand here. That's what allows me to preach. That's what allows me to share the word of God with other people. Because it's not about me. It's not about what they see in me. It's the power that lies in the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation. Not my fancy words. Not that I do my job well. Not that I have talents and gifts. It's the power of God that's in the gospel. And that's what brings salvation. That's what allows us to stand. That's what allows us to share the good news with our friends. A lot of times we disqualify ourselves from sharing the gospel news to people because we go, who am I to share this? Or there's certain people maybe that you don't live as holy with, that you don't act as holy with. And when you're in their presence, you feel embarrassed. You feel ashamed to share the gospel news with them because they'll say, what? You act just the same as me. You know, you think just the same way as I do. You say the same things that I say. You know, in our workplaces, among our friends, you know, in closed spaces where there aren't many eyes, maybe we allow ourselves to live a little bit differently, to think a little bit differently. And because of that, we disqualify ourselves before even the opportunity to share the gospel news with anyone. We say, I'm not worthy of sharing the gospel message. Now, I shouldn't say it. I'm not a good example. You know, maybe Reverend Lee should be the one to speak to this person. Maybe Pastor Edwin should speak to this person. That's their job. But me, I'm not. If I did, I would be embarrassed. I would be ashamed of myself. And people would point to things in my life. And so we disqualify ourselves. But the gospel message does not disqualify you. It doesn't say you have to be the perfect person to describe this kingdom to other people. You have to live a perfect life to be able to share the gospel word with other people. No, the gospel is to be shared to all, by all. Why? Because we're not ashamed of the words that it says, that our Christ came into this world, that our Messiah came, was sent by God to die on the cross. And yeah, that's a shameful thing in their culture, but he rose again. He died for our sins. He loves us. He lives with us. He wants us to be a part of his family. That's what brings salvation to people, not your life, not how well you live, not how good you are to other people, but the gospel message that is the power of God to bring salvation to everyone. Now ask yourself, what are the times, what are the moments where you've had a chance to share that gospel message with someone else? But in that moment, you felt shame. You felt fear. You felt embarrassed. But it wasn't about the message that you're saying. It wasn't about the words that you're about to speak. It had more to do with your life. It had more to do with your reputation. It had more to do with you guarding yourself. If I don't bring this topic up, then I'm not open to attacks about my character. I'm not open to attacks about my integrity. I'm not open to attacks about my lifestyle. So it's easier for me to not share these words. Paul is an amazing guy. In an honor-shame culture, he had done stuff. He had done many things to bring shame to his own name. And in some ways, if he thought about it in that perspective, then he would have thought, you know, for me to represent this Christian movement, for me to think about being a Jesus follower, for me to put my name on this thing, you know, maybe that's not a good idea. Because I was so opposed, because I had such a big reputation as an enemy, as an adversary. And so maybe it's not a good thing for me to add shame to this by putting my name on this thing. Maybe it's better if I'm in the background. But he had a good understanding. He had a good understanding of what the gospel message was about, that it wasn't about him, that it's not about the mistakes that he's made. It wasn't about the things that he's done in his past. It's about the word of God. And that's what has power. That's what can change people. And he needed to share that. He was desperate to share that with all those who would listen. Think about the people in your lives. Maybe you have people in your families. Maybe you have people and friends. Maybe you know people in your communities who still have not come to Jesus Christ, who still do not believe that he is their Savior. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for to share that gospel message? In Paul's introduction, you can see that he's desperate to go to Rome. He wants to be there. He feels a desperate need to preach to them, to speak to them, and to really bless them with the message and to impart spiritual gifts, to be mutually encouraged, as we preached about last week. And nothing will hold him back because he knows it's not about him, it's the message that he speaks. In our churches, in our lives, let's put the emphasis back on the gospel message. That's what has the power. Not on ourselves and the lives that we live. We should live good lives because we are representatives of the kingdom of God. But it's not our lives that can change and bring salvation into someone else. We should not be ashamed of the gospel. We should all be able to declare, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of my God. He is the one who has the power to bring salvation to everyone. In verse 7, we see kind of a little bit of an unpacking of this. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. The righteousness not of myself, not of my own doing. For in the gospel, for in the word of God, for in the message, what gets revealed is the righteousness of our God. And the righteousness of our God is perfect. It's pure. It's something that we can share. It's something that we can declare. It's something that we can brag about to other people. The righteousness of God is something that we can stand on. If declaring the word or sharing the message, it required me to stand upon the righteousness of myself, I would probably be too embarrassed to share the word with other people. I don't have the righteousness of my on my own to lead anyone to faith. But it's a righteousness of God that's revealed through the gospel. We're pointing people to God. We're pointing people to the cross. We're pointing people to the things that he did on his will when he sent Jesus Christ into this world to die for our sins upon that cross. We're not pointing them to ourselves. We're not pointing them to the mistakes that we've made. We're not pointing them to our pasts. So what are we afraid of? What have we been waiting for? What has the church been doing? The church has a spotty history. We've done some things, you know, in church history that are embarrassing, that bring shame to the name of the Church of God. But it doesn't disqualify us from sharing the gospel message, because the gospel message is pure, because the gospel message has power, because it reveals the righteousness of our Lord and Savior, not ourselves. So do not be afraid. Do not be ashamed. You can go out with confidence and share the message of God, even with your inadequacies, even if you can't explain it or describe it in perfect ways. Maybe you don't know all the theological terms. It's okay. The gospel message, when you share that Jesus Christ loved them, that Jesus Christ is our Savior, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and was resurrected again, those are the things that can bring salvation into their hearts. Those are the beliefs. When they believe in that, let's take the emphasis off of ourselves and let's start bringing the emphasis back into the gospel message the same way that Paul did. I've shared this with you in the past, but why? How? How does this man have this confidence? How does this man carry on? He has a firm belief in the gospel. And that's something that each and every one of us need. It's not just for pastors. It's not just for leaders. It's for all of us that declare that we are believers in Jesus Christ. God has placed people in your life that need to hear this message. God has placed you in communities. He's purposely placed you strategically in your workplaces, in your families, in your homes, in your communities. Wherever you might go, whoever you might meet, he needs this word to be shared with others. And as a people, may we be able to declare, may we be able to stand up, look past ourselves, look past our shame and declare, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the righteousness of God that's revealed in these words. And I pray that you will have the courage to share the good news with whoever God places in your life this week. Start with small things. Practice what you believe. Practice what you hear. Practice, I'm telling myself, what you preach. And then we will be able to stand up together as the church and state that we are not ashamed as the body of Christ. We are not ashamed as the church of God. And it is then, I believe, that the power of God will be revealed, that the righteousness of God will be revealed, and it will really have a deep impact in this world, in the hearts of those who need it, in the hearts of those who are searching for their Savior, looking for hope, looking for love. We will not be ashamed, and we will declare the word of God into their lives. Let us pray. God, not by strength, not by might, not by our own righteousness, not by our own clever words, not by living a pristine life, not by our own righteousness. Lord, we pray that we would be able to stand up against even our own shame, our own fears, our own sins, and that we would be able to declare the gospel message, that we would have full confidence. It is your word that has power. It is the gospel message that can save. So Lord, help us to take the emphasis off ourselves. Put the spotlight back on you, God. We thank you, God, and we trust in the work that you're doing in our lives. Would you challenge us? Would you challenge us by putting people in our path this week with whom we're able to share the gospel message with? Would you bless us with that, God? We thank you, God, and all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.